This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
Hi, this is Celia Kutcher, host of Animal Instinct, and you are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
We're back streaming live from Bushwick on the Heritage Radio Network from Roberta's here on Arts and Seizures. And before we get into it, you know, you've all heard lots of filth and lots of fury. We've worked blue. We've done everything from punk rock and pornography to pro wrestling and pot on this show. But always at the true beating heart of Arts and Seizures, this show has always been about freedom and love. And that's the message that we're sending today to our friends in Paris. We were working the show today with a truly unbelievable amount of sadness, really indescribable. I personally had nightmares. It hit so close to home, a room full of musicians, a band, just kids. It's just unfathomable, and it would be difficult to start the show without acknowledging that. I mean, this is still, it still weighs very, very heavy, and I'm sure it will for a long time. That being said, I'm switching to my Joe Franklin voice to introduce you, Jesse.
going back in the annals.
I'm going way back. I know we're all feeling the same thing, and I know you guys were going to talk. You had a friend who was lost in the massacre in Paris. But as Joe Frank would say, I'd like to introduce a young man, a very talented young man. He's from the borough of Queens, which, as you know, is also home to many other talented musical personalities, Louis Armstrong and Kiss among them, and the Ramones. He's a very talented young man. He's bigger than big. He's big, big. So let's hear it for our friend Jesse Mallon.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Joe. The ghost of Joe.
And the ghost of Joe. Joining us today is also Derek Cruz, who's brought his guitar along, and I understand you've been twirling the knobs for Jesse as well.
Quite a bit, yeah. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great. I'm really glad to have you here. We go, you know, Jesse and I go way back, travel in the same punk rock circles since, you know, it's hard to imagine, like, these all ages shows when I was, you know, hanging friends with Reagan Youth, our mutual friend Dave, insurgent of Reagan Youth. I guess we're a couple of years older than you. So you were like, what, 14 when you were in a heart attack?
We started when we were 12, actually. Yeah. We played the CBGBs, those audition nights.
Right.
You could call up if you had original music, they would let you in. And we did a couple of those, came in from Queens and, like, you know, got scared of the Bowery, but we got used to it.
And it's almost unfathomable, like, going to see a bunch of 12 year olds playing hardcore punk.
Yeah. Well, it started out more like Dead Boys Ramonesy stuff. And then suddenly we heard the Bad Brains and Circle Jerks and things like that. You know, even the Plasmatics were like faster than, you know, what we were used to, the Dickies, and, you know, it started to speed up.
Oh my God, the Plasmatics were incredibly fast. If you listen to those records now, I mean, and no one knew what to do with the velocity. I mean, I remember hearing it the first time, these bands, the Dead Kennedys, and it didn't make sense. And then you listen to it and, you know, your brain's, it's like trying to catch up with a fastball. you know, eventually you could see it coming.
Yeah, it was just like Motorhead or a fast Judas Priest song was around. But, you know, really once that started to change, then Heart Attack became a trio and we picked up the tempos, and, you know, some bands were getting silly trying to outspeed each other, who was faster and all that kind of bananas. But I think that when it gets so fast, you lose the point.
It doesn't quite swing the way.
Yeah, it doesn't swing. Speaking of swinging, Phil Animal Taylor, he died last week from Motorhead, and he really knew how to play it fast, but swing it.
But no, I really knew how to play a shake and beat. I always thought, I mean, Motorhead was a rock and roll band. You know, to me, like, the two most perfect songs in the history of rock and roll are Maybelline by Chuck Berry and the Ace of Spades. You know, to me, they're like these economical, like rock and roll songs where not a single note is wasted. The beat is shaking. It's like the perfect shaking thing, you know?
Right, right.
You know, it's about cars and gambling and girls. Yeah. And even the guitar solo is like not a wasted note.
Yeah.
It's just like this model of efficient rock. rock and roll.
It's a great thing you said. I totally back it.
Well, I'll tell you what. We want to talk about your new record, and you are a guy who's, I guess, hang on the verge of respectable, coming out of Queens, which is not always the easiest thing to do. I was loving. I was listening to from your new record, Whitestone City Limits this morning.
Oh yeah,
which is sort of like your Get Out of Denver.
Yeah, that's kind of our Nutbush City Limits or whatever.
But I'll tell you what. Why don't you tell us about the new record, and we'll get right into some music.
We have a record out called Outsiders. It's the second one that we've had out this year. First, it was New York Before the War in April, and Outsiders just came out last month.
Prolific motherfucker.
I have a record out for 5 years. Love It to Life was the last record. So in those 5 years, D-Generation Reunion, St. Mark's Social Tours, and some writing and recording. Yeah, we did both these records. Most of it was done in rural settings. The new one, Outsiders, was done in the Poconos in a studio called Velvet Elk.
Did you record it in a heart-shaped bathtub?
Yeah. What was that? What's that? Love?
The Poconos.
The Mount Airy Lodge.
Mount Airy Lodge. Thanks.
We were close to that. No. But we did think about that a lot. Yeah, it's a bunch of songs. You know, Derek, who's with me now today here on the guitar and hanging out laughing at your jokes, he played a lot of instruments and helped with the production, and a guy named Don Lego, who owns Velvet Elk Studios, he did a lot of the production. And then we did some stuff at Magic Shop in New York on Crosby Street, which is it's hanging in there barely. It's a great studio. It's, you know, for me, it's a cool record because we get to play some quiet stuff on it and some stuff that, you know, live can get the ass shaking.
Yeah, I definitely got
bananas.
That listening to it. I mean, it's a combination. I mean, you're a raconteur, and there's definitely a folk side and, like you said, a rural kind of vibe going on. But yeah, you're from Queens. It shows. You know.
Yeah, well, I always try to incorporate both sides of Queens Boulevard, the Paul Simon and the Johnny Thunders.
I always thought, you know, Dion was the he's from the Bronx, of course.
That's the Bronx. That's a different thing. Yeah, it goes to the Dictators.
That's the true line that goes to Paul Simon and to Bruce Springsteen. The line starts with Dion, you know, and goes sort of through, well, maybe the Dictators because they're from up there too, but you say Paul Simon and... Well, everybody. I mean,
yeah, well, you could
Johnny
be,
Thunders to me.
Next, you could do the show on Arthur Avenue, and we can get some spaghetti up there.
All right.
Roberta's North.
Well, all right. Here's Jesse Mann. What are you going to hear?
We're going to play a song called Addicted, and I want to send this one out to our friend Nick Alexander, who was a merch guy for me and a good friend on many tours in England, and just a really sweet, wonderful kid, really good person. And it's a horrible thing what happened to him and many others the other night, and... I just really don't know what to say, but we're thinking about him and his family and his spirit and sending out a lot of love. This song is called Addicted. I've been running from the outskirts, got some money on the wrong horse. I just have nowhere else to go. Now they're closing down the bookstore, and they're putting up a condo. We're gonna watch this whole thing blow. And I lived here all my life. I'm addicted to the sadness and the sound of tribulation. We never got to say goodbye. Well, they wanted his apartment, and they tried to steal his paintings. They were counting up the days until he died. And the band played on and on. The band played on and on. And the band played out the sadness of my youth. I'm addicted to the hand jive. I've been living on the downstroke. Almost gone and almost grown. I've been feeling like a bastard in the beauty of the moment. So alive and so long. And the band played on and on. And the band played on and on. And the band played on the sadness of my youth. I'm addicted to the glory of a broken heart. Bye-bye. They got you in a camera, and you're feeling like a target. Another picture in $1 million phone. I'm addicted to the moment. I
will not be reconstructed. We're gonna watch this whole thing blow. And the band played on and on. And the band played on and on. And the band played all the sadness of my youth. And the band played on and on. And the band played all the sadness of my youth. Will I live here all my life?
All right, I can take it. What's the new album called?
The new album's called Outsiders.
And it's out, and everybody can get it on through various
online. All those sites of conspiracy and assault.
And old school plastic, those black shiny
things.
We're on
vinyl, yeah. We sell vinyl, and they're in the shops. We just did some in-stores at Vintage Vinyl and Looney Tunes in Long Island. And we're playing in New York, actually, in December. We're doing a Bowery Ballroom. And we'll be selling the vinyl there. But I think it's like December 29th, kind of a holiday thing.
Looking forward to that. Speaking of vinyl, you got back with Degeneration to do a vinyl thing this year, right? For Record Store Day?
It was Record Store Day, yeah. It was in April. We did
my favorite Hallmark holiday.
Queens of A and a song called Piece of the Action. And it was on our Velvet Elk record label, too, that we just started. And, yeah, we have a whole Degeneration record that's just being mixed. It's been recorded, most of it, for about 2 years, and now it's going to be
finalized.
So that
means we're going to look forward to seeing you guys coming back at it?
We'll have to do something to represent this record. Yeah, I mean, everybody's still alive and well, as Johnny Winter would say.
And talking to each other?
Occasionally, yeah.
You know,
brief texting. And
man, I mean, when you guys came out, I mean, you came out big. I mean, it all seemed to roll out big, the Degeneration thing. I mean, I remember I left town for like a week to go on tour, and I came back, and all anybody was talking about was Degeneration.
Well, it was fun times. I mean, there was nothing going on here in the late 80s, early 90s that really we could connect with. I mean, maybe some bands on what was called a scum rock scene. I guess that was pretty cool. And, you know, a lot of people were kind of doing the rock LA thing, but we were kind of trying to do something like a band we wished we could have saw in the 70s if we were old enough, you know, like our Dead Boys, Dolls, Stooges, Kiss kind of fantasy, but dealing with, you know, modern day 90s issues. You know, we were growing up where, I guess, we were in our 20s. It was like the war on drugs, the war on sex, it was like the beginning of gentrification, I guess. The whole Giuliani thing was starting to bubble up in New York, and we had a lot to sing about, but we also wanted to have a good time. It kind of came out of a bunch of friends that grew up together that just wanted to, you know, play.
Well, it makes a lot of sense, and that's what makes a style, right? You get to cherry pick the things you love, like whether it's the Dead Boys or Dion or Aerosmith or Kiss, and you guys ended up playing with Kiss.
Yeah, a lot of the things that, you know, we
speaking of great
about,
Queens bands.
Yeah, the first thing I ever saw, probably first concert, was Kiss at the Garden, and, you know, one day we ended up just supporting them on a whole tour, and one of the stops was Madison Square Garden.
I was there. It was a great night. It was definitely reliving something, the Kiss show.
Yeah, it was
know?
Weird because they were all in the old costumes and playing the old songs, so it was like a weird 1977 set list flashback.
Basically, they're playing Kiss Alive. I think just the whole first double live record.
Yeah.
Like, that was pretty much the set list, and it was like, okay, here come the flames, here comes the tongue, here comes the smoke, you know, here comes the dad, you know, cold gin jokes.
They were pretty nice to us, too. You know, I mean, yep. After you've seen the show many nights, you start to, you know, I thought, oh, I'm going to watch this every night. But then after a point, you're like, all right, I know what I know what Paul's going to say here.
No, it's going to a Broadway musical. Because I went back to see him the second time they came around. I had so much fun. And it was like, it was the same set. It didn't really withhold, like, repeated viewing. Not in the same way that a Yoko Ono concert doesn't stand up to repeated viewing. But it was a lot of good fun. But yeah, Degeneration made a huge impact, and man, those were different times, you know. And of course, it was right around then that you sort of you were always throwing the Green Day parties up at
Green
Georgia,
Door,
Grimaldi's place. I mean, you're a man about town. Bon vivant, those Green Door parties
party
were out of hand.
In Giorgio Gomelsky's loft, this old Russian, English, Italian producer that did the Yardbirds and Manage the Stones. And he had this place on 24th Street, and we all rehearsed there, and we start to throw these parties. We'd get turntables and play records that we weren't hearing at other clubs, you know, get people dancing to Sly and the Family Stone and the Stooges and the Cramps. And once they started dancing, we started bringing in more beer from, like, the cheap beer distributors out in Greenpoint, and that kind of led to me getting involved in that thing at Coney Island High on St. Mark's, because then we got kicked out of Giorgio's, so we had to go into this club, which was Boy Bar, And then they were doing a Mexican restaurant. The people who did San Loco, no, not San Loco, Burritoville. they were doing it, Burritoville, and they would let me do one night a month. And that one night was making more than their whole week. So I said, let me just take over and hire all my friends. And that was Coney Island High. Then I went on the road, and everybody gave the house away, and we got closed by the city 4 years later, but 5 years later. But it was a good time. That was a fun place, and Ramones played there, and Iggy and Beastie Boys.
I saw Iggy there. I think it was the most crowded room I've ever been in my life, the night that Iggy played there. But, you know, we do a lot on the show. We call it, hey, dude, where's my New York? And, you know, what happened? You know, I mean, now of course, you're working with your joint, the Bowery Electric, and now we're just talking, you're opening a new place, Berlin, which is under the bar 2A. I mean, it's tough out there, man. It's rough. I mean,
yeah, the rents are really high. I mean, the city, New York City, is kind of, you know, especially Manhattan or the Old Apple or whatever you want to call it, it's definitely a place for tourists and chains, you know, chain stores and corporations. But there's still pockets downtown where, you know, people are still playing rock music and getting fucked up and eating a tofu sandwich and pissing on a wall and whatever. You know, I mean, there's moments where stuff is happening, and we're trying to keep that going. You know, we still need a place to go with our friends. Some friends still need jobs, and bands need to play, and, you know, people still need to get laid and all that stuff. So, you know, we got to create those little dark rooms. But it's hard with the rent so high and with all the rules. And going back to Brooklyn just didn't seem appealing to me. Going back to Queens, I mean, it's just places that I'd wanted to get the hell out of. And they're all full of people that aren't from New York anyway. So I might as well live in Austin, Texas or Portland. So unless I get a bicycle and a fucking beard and I start to get more patchouli on my scrotum. And, you know,
maybe we should take over the Mount Airy Lodge. Maybe that's
it.
The
I think we
got
to go to Poconos. I think it's it. I'll go back to the Catskills, get fucking Uncle Floyd, get everybody.
Get Uncle
the
Floyd.
Ghost of Zero Mostel and get some fucking Groucho Marx crackers and, you know, we'll figure it out.
We'll get the Cornette Brothers to sponsor us.
There you go. you know, we'll get the Joe Franklin tapes. That's Tiny Tim's magic poster.
Martin Paints and the Cornette Brothers. No talking orangutan. All right, you're listening to Arts and Seizures here on the Heritage Radio Network. And don't forget, we are member supported. So if you're listening on that internet machine and see a button that says be a member or donate, please don't hesitate. And Jesse's available, of course, for bar mitzvahs and weddings. And just push a button and give us some money and he'll come over.
Yeah,
sing a song for you. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to some Go Back, Set the Wayback Machine for Degeneration, and we're going to be back on Arts and Seizures in a second. Hey, Liz in the booth, give it a twirl.
Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
And we're back with Jesse Mallon and our friend Derek Cruz, and the pizza's arrived. Pizza, yeah. And punk rock, and our friend Bob Burt just texted me. He goes, talk about the Cramps tribute. And we did really kind of blow the doors off of the Bowery Electric last week, celebrating and feeding one of the most loved bands, you know, in the history of the game.
I think it's got to be a yearly tradition now. I think that people, you know, we had email chains and Facebook and all that, but really, it's a party called Sally Can't Dance. Then we usually tribute a different artist, but man, Halloween and the Cramps in New York, and yeah, you were great, and Bob held it down so good on the drums, and it was just great. And Miss Guy and
Palmyra and Mickey Collins on guitars, and I had the best time. I'm still dining out on it. You know, 2 weeks later, people are still sending me pictures of me in that wrestling mask. You know,
I got your rehearsal on video, your sound check. But yeah, we're going to probably do it every year. I think that's probably the plan. You know, we try to do stuff like that that have a nod to the past. past at Bowery Electric where there's some, you know, kind of connection to what actually happened on the Bowery.
Yeah, which is good. I'm always fearful of nostalgia, though. You know, it's like when CBGB was closed, you know, it was problematic for me. Other people wanted to say, I wanted to save CBGBs, sure, but the people who ran CBGBs didn't seem like they were that interested in it. You know, I understand it. You know, it was easier to let it go, more money to be made letting it go, you know, and all the people that had said that, when's the last time you were there? I mean, they weren't really booking competitively.
No,
a lot of those bands
were
playing at Coney Island High. Could have played at CBGB's too. People loved playing there. Great stage.
Yeah, but they weren't booking anything anybody wanted to go to. People went there and just looked at it. You might as well have like a turnstile and put a token in to look at the walls for Japanese people. But they were making money on t-shirts. And then at the end, when they were closing, then they started giving everybody these crazy guarantees and booking, like, you know, flying bands in, The Damned and Agent Orange or whatever. But yeah, I mean, it's things do change, and it's going to happen. It's going to happen to everything, and that's why it's important that, you know, new places come and new bands and other people, you know, step aside.
It's the nature of the city. I think things changed, and again, I talk about you. I mean, you've evolved. You know, for all of us who were lucky enough to, you know, to play CBGBs just once, you know, and tell grandfather tales about all the days of, you know, punk rock and old age shows and the plexiglass, you know, bodegas, you know, up and down the Bowery and drinking 40s with Dave Reagan Youth and stuff. But you're still in the game, and you're like I said, on the verge of respectability. What's that line from Network that if it's like old buildings and men, if they last long enough, they become venerable.
No, that's in Chinatown. That's John Huston in Chinatown. Says that to Jack Nicholson.
Are you venerable?
Yeah, well, that's my middle name.
All right. Why don't you guys twirl another song? What are we going to hear?
This one is off New York Before the War, and it's called Oshina.
Three, four.
I'm a broken artist, and it really didn't go as planned. She's an apparition, and she dreams of a barren land. There's a world outside if you want it. There's a place in the stars and the soul. There's a world outside. Well, I'm up the junction, and I'm running out of PMA. She can keep a secret even better than the CIA. There's a world outside if you want it. There's a world outside you can know. There's a world outside. Oh, Sheena, we can make it together. Oh, Sheena, we can make it alone. Well, she paints a picture that nobody understands. She's infatuated with the songs of a dead end band. When it all goes down on a corner in a sad and beautiful world, it's a place in time. Oh, Sheena, we can make it together. Oh, Sheena, we can make it alone. Say, on a silver lining coming over the Jamaica Bay. When it all goes down on a corner in a sad and beautiful world, it's a place in time. Oh, Sheena, we can make it together. Oh, Sheena, we can make it alone. Oh, Sheena, we can make it together. Oh, Sheena, we can make it alone.
All right, can you dig it? Jesse Malin and Derek. From your new record, Outsiders. I worry about young people. Do you worry about young people?
all the time.
Oh, I'm worried about their hands and their arms, and they're going to grow third arms with phones attached to them. And I don't know. I just don't know how this whole thing is going to end. But I think everybody's super distracted, including myself here. I'm looking out a window, and people are chewing cheese and, you know, tattoos and cheese in the morning and the smell of chemo in the afternoon and napalm. And the, I mean, it's definitely a crazy generation. I don't know what people say. The millenniums. I don't know.
These are the people that are going to inherit the earth, dude.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're gluten free. So,
well, I mean, you know,
some
I mean,
of them are vegan.
No, I ask you as a musician, a guy is still out there playing as a club owner, and you know, books a lot of bands. I mean, it just seems so much different than when I was 23 or 24, and you know, and I also dispel, you know, people say, you know, people my age, you know, age as fucks, people who are 50 years old like me, you know, we're all kind of get off my fucking lawn, you kids. I mean, there's definitely that element, but, you know, what's a 22-year-old going to tell me that I don't already know? But then you got to remember that Miles Davis did his best work when he was in his early 20s, you know, and Van Morrison did like Astral Weeks when he was like 22, and all those old black guys that we really like Muddy Waters and Bo Diddley, they weren't old when they made the records that we love, you know. Robert Johnson was what? You know, in his 20s when he recorded. Hank Williams died his 30th birthday.
Bob Dylan.
You know? So who's 20? Who should I be listening to that's in their 20s now? And I ask you, because you are booking bands and you seem to be a little closer to street level than,
well,
you know.
I don't know. It was a cool band.
Like me.
A cool band that played last night at Berlin called Threats, and they played as a duo and it was really cool. You would have dug it. It was like really nasty, dirty rock and roll, punk rock stuff. There's definitely young bands out, and you know, even in the last, you know, 10-15 years, I mean, talking about people or whatever that did stuff, I like that guy Conor Oberst a lot. You know, that's already maybe Bright Eyes started beginning of 2000s, but I think he's got a lot to say still in his records. And I think you know, I'm a big fan of some of those kids like Miley Cyrus. And
I love Miley Cyrus.
Oh, so amazing.
I love Miley Cyrus. And I listen to the thing she did with the Flaming Lips, you know, and I won't listen to it again. But I enjoyed it. You know, I like that she's out there doing it. I like that she's fucking nuts and proud, you know, and just sort of being herself. And it seems to be there's definitely a corporate side to her product, you know. And yet there's this other side of her that just wants to be this, like, pot-smoking artist that they can't seem to, you know, keep her in her cage. And I think it's great. You know,
there's a lot of new bands. We tour with this band, Hollis Brown. They're out of Queens. Right. They're a younger band. It's great. Derek plays with a friend of ours, Anthony D'Amato, who's a young songwriter and has a lot of cool stuff to say and cool sounds. And, you know, there's definitely bananas out there. I mean, we go around the world, and sometimes you're stuck in a bubble, but you need new things to listen to. You can only listen to, you know, those Chuck Berry and Motorhead records so much. I get desensitized from them. I don't hear them clear unless I get drunk and walk into a bar and say, oh, yeah, that's what it feels like.
Yeah, I don't play those records at home, but when it comes on the car radio, it's like, turn it up. When it comes, I don't play the Ramones in my house. I don't tend not to, but when it comes on in the bar off the jukebox, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
You know,
it
has that initial impact. Like the Cramps, too, you know. I mean the Cramps, everybody has the same story. You know, the Human Fly. Exactly that. It's like, and then with the fuzz guitar kicks in, you know, it's like being knocked over, you know.
Yeah, when I heard that record, like, what is going on here?
What the fuck? That was like the coolest thing I ever heard. Can you do that again? Just play that again. And everybody, it's a, you know, very shared experience of, you know, it was definitely outsider art, you know.
Great band. And then, you know, you got Alex Chilton and recording down in Memphis, and you know, it's just crazy.
And No Rules, you know. I mean to me, Songs the Lord Taught Us had this like nasty vibe to it. I mean, that was like the dark side of LSD, you know. I'm gonna use your eyeballs for dials on my TV set. And by the time they got to Psychedelic Jungle, it seemed to be a little bit more Paisley and Love Beads. And a little bit more.
Well, I think they moved to LA at that point.
Yeah, well, and there you have it.
I mean, Kid is great, but Brian Gregory, you know, they had some scary shit there. That guy used to scare me when I was a kid. I didn't want to go near that stage. That guy was scary looking, but you know, he's not alive anymore, Brian Gregory, right?
No, he's departed this realm, this right. plane.
What about Nick Knox, the drummer?
I think Nick's still hanging in there in Cleveland or wherever it is they're originally from.
Is that a good drummer name, Nick Knox?
It's a perfect drummer name, you know. And think about Lux too.
Lux Interior,
right? you know, he got weirder and weirder as it got along. Like on their first record, they looked weird, but let's face it, they were just dressed in black. Right. Oh my God, they're wearing black. Oh my God, they dyed their hair black. But by the end, he was wearing like these PVC G-strings and you know, getting more to drag the stiletto heels. I mean, he was getting further and further out, where you would think, you know, normally the trajectory wouldn't be the exact opposite direction.
I sang Surfing Bird at that Cramps tribute, and I had to look up some stuff. I was looking on YouTube, and I found some footage of him doing it towards the end, like 2006 or something, and his ass and dick is hanging out, and he's on his knees eating Ivy's guitar out.
he got weirder and crazier as it goes along. And you know what, guys? It has been, as always, the fastest half hour on the internet today. Arts and Cedars, Jesse, I'm really glad you came by. I'm trying to get this together. together for a while. We're going to look forward to seeing you at the Bowery Ballroom on December 29th.
That's it. You got it.
Everybody's going to go out and get your new record. And whether it's coming electronically through the cloud, which I still don't really have a clue as to what the fuck that
the Google do. Box.
Yeah, you push the thing on the thing, and then the thing happens. I don't even... What is it? It's a bunch of ones and zeros, you know? But you guys got guitars. Being talked to Jesse Fine and all over the internet. Thanks for Derek to come by. Thanks to everybody in Lister Land. Thanks especially, of course, to St. Elizabeth of the Booth, as always. And next week, it's going to be our annual holiday wine tasting. We're going to taste some wine here live on the radio. You guys can come by. You guys can come back. Lunch, want to drink some wine? I got a crazy French man who's going to bring some wine for us to taste.
That's cool.
All right? Just to get ready for all your holiday needs. Hey, we do it all here in Arts and Seizures.
Eggnog.
All right. Let's go out with one more song. Jesse, what do you got?
This one is on the record Outsiders. It's a cover of a song that Mick Jones sang in The Clash. It's called Stay Free. We met when we were at school. Never took no shit from no one. We weren't fools. The teacher says we're dumb. We're only having fun. We piss on everyone in the classroom. When we got thrown out and left without much fuss, in weekends we go dancing downstream on the bus. You always made me laugh, got me in bad fights, playing pool all night, smoking menthol. I practice daily in my room. You were down the crown planning your next move. Go on a nicking spree. Hit the wrong guy. Each of you get 3 years in Brixton. I did my very best to write. But limbs were the screws too tight. When you let get out, we're gonna hit the town. We'll burn it fucking down to a cinder. Cause years have passed and things have changed. I move any way I wanna go. And I'll never forget the feeling that I had when I heard that you got free. And I'll never forget the smile on my face, cause I knew where you would be. And if you're in the crowd tonight, have a drink on me. Go easy. Step lightly. Stay free.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.